As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Happy draft day. Beautiful outside. 77 expected to be the high. Good stuff. 56 right now. Nice today. A little bit of rain. It rained a lot. Hard. And then
It rained hard for like 5 minutes.
All right. Looks like it's over. That's good. Might rain a little tomorrow night. Hey, tonight we're at Resurgence. You can still get tickets. ResurgenceBrewing.com. We'll be there for the draft party tonight. Come on out. Be a good time. Tomorrow, we're going to be at Whalen for rounds 2 and 3. You can join us for that at Whalen Brewing. So tomorrow, it's an event out there at Whalen, North Buffalo Street in Orchard Park. Join us. 7 to 10. Joe and I will both be there tomorrow night. Test your knowledge. Trivia, prizes, courtesy of Whalen, plus a special theme menu. Don't miss the party. Visit WGR550.com for details. So tonight, Resurgence. See you there. Tomorrow, Whalen. See you there. Let's get some Bills players drafted. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to... give us a ring, dial us up about the draft. We talked a lot this morning about the idea of drafting a safety if the Bills do that, just because there have been a bunch of mocks that have kind of leaned that way. Peter Schrager, Dane Brugler, some NFL insiders having the Bills go safety in the first round. Malachi Starks, which we think is possible. I don't know if it's the favorite, but it's possible, depending on how the board falls. Defensive tackle is going to be in the mix, of course. Corner, edge. Mm-hmm. We think a defensive player with the number one pick for sure, though. I mean, I think you're putting odds on it. Would you say like 3-1, 5-1?
More than that, even. I might say 10-1.
10-1, it's an offensive player, and 9 out of every 10 bets, whatever, be defensive player.
Yes.
Yeah, that's probably right. I mean, receiver, if the right guy were to fall, maybe there's somebody they would have there. They have 12 first round grades.
Yeah.
And this is the point about Starks that I would get to. Let's say the Bills are up at 30 and they have a first round grade on Starks. Mm-hmm. And they don't have any defensive tackle first-round grades left. What should they take?
They should take... Wait, one more time. There's the receiver.
Starks, first-round grade.
Yeah.
He's on the board. All the defensive tackles left, second-round grades.
Yeah, they should take Starks. I think they would even want to tell you that's how they operate, right? Like, we had this discussion more about when we were talking about receiver over the last couple of years. You know, for... it was the need versus the board versus the grades. What's been sold is that, well, you don't draft just for need. You draft your highest guys at your top available players. And we know that that's not 100% true. We know that they also draft for need, that there is a balance between the two. Everybody knows that. But in a situation like that, right, like, I've got one first-round grade left, and okay, sure, I don't have as clear of a need or clear of a hole in the depth chart at that position, but it still is manageable, that I can make everything work with that player on my team versus, oh, yeah, this other position where there isn't a guy there that makes sense, but that's where my big need is. The way the Bills have talked and the way most NFL teams talk is they would want to tell you we're not going to take the defensive tackle in that situation. That, no, we're not going to draft the guy that's lower on our board because that's our hole in the depth chart.
That happens probably all the time, though, right?
That's the thing. I do think that probably does happen. It probably happened with Kyrie Elam.
Right. I always want to say, like, every one of these conversations about what, and Bean spoke this week. Well, they must have thought this and they must have thought that, and we never see their boards, so we can still only guess.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the case of Worthy. I mean, I was guilty of it last year, saying that Worthy, oh, they must not have liked Worthy. Turns out some people in that office liked Worthy quite a bit, but the conversation went this way, that way. I mean, the way Bean talked about their process, he said it's not a Brandon Bean pick, it's the Buffalo Bills pick, it's our scouting pick. Bean really might have wanted Worthy and been overruled. I want to trade down. We don't know. We never can know.
Right, if 8 out of 10 in the room were I'm not into it.
Let's push down the board. We want to get in that third round. We got an offer here. Let's go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Bean, you know, he's the one. The buck stops here. The picks go on his name. The decisions go on his name, on his resume. We don't really know what he would have wanted to do there or who it was that would have said this player over this player or let's trade down. No, let's stick and pick. The Bills might get at 30 and have half the room pounding the table for player X and the other half saying, we got a good offer. Let's slide. Mm-hmm. Let's risk it. Slide down 5 spots. I mean, these teams, and this is not just the Bills, these teams love to represent their in lockstep. We really have how many examples of a team, their inner war room, having such a dispute that it's obvious. It's Tennessee. You just traded A.J. Brown.
Yes.
The coach was so mad.
He got up and walked away, shaking his head. He was mad.
That stuff probably happens every year to 5 teams where the coach and the GM, they disagree. All right, we're on the same team, but I just don't think it.
What was, there was another one. Remember, was Tom Donahoe with the Eagles and Howie Roseman made a pick? This is all, I think, though, during the COVID drafts where you had the Zoom calls of their locker rooms. Remember that?
Yep.
There was a video of Donahoe being mad about them picking. Here it is. He did not seem to agree on video with Roseman's pick of Milton Williams.
Oh. Well, looks like Howie Roseman had the right call there.
There's a video of him. Like, it's an awkward moment where they're pointing at each other. So, and those were 2 higher ups. It's the GM and then one of his probably higher ups, I'm assuming, in the front office.
Yeah.
So, sure, that happens. But, like, well, we think it's Bean's final decision, right? Like,
if he says he...
There's a clip in the Moneyball movie about, like, the old scout sitting there like, all we can do is give him what our advice is and then he makes the final call. But
he flat out
said... There's
Sean
McDermott.
He distanced himself from his own picks 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
The clip was, it's not a Brandon Bean board. It's not a whatever. It's not a Brandon Bean pick. It's a Bills pick.
And it is also, like, what does his coach want? What does his coach want? What does McDermott want? And how do they approach that pick? How does he approach that pick? Because I'm sure McDermott doesn't know every little intricacy of all these prospects. I mean, that's what the Bean guys are there for. But, I mean, he's in those rooms. He's probably getting reports and studying it more. I mean, we're doing that. He's probably doing that times 100 in these recent days. And how has he approached this offseason? Because if I were him, I know how it would be me. I would be obsessed with what happened to Kansas City. And studying these, how am I going to limit that freaking team? How am I going to do it? And what were the weaknesses in my defense that they exposed and they figured out ways to expose? And what do I want to add to my defense? Maybe something that I haven't had before that I think is going to work in that matchup and then just on the overall. And if McDermott, if I have this right, if McDermott has a thing that he thinks is really going to help him, just on the overall, but even that matchup could be either one. And he goes to Bean and he goes to the Bills front office. He's like, you know, guys, it could be whoever. It could be Starks. It could be James Pierce. It could be the linebacker. Like, if I had a guy like that, that skill set, what do you think of this guy? Because if he is this good, I think I can make something out of this. That's a piece I haven't had before.
Bean said, what they do is they
that
give...
That could be the defensive tackle, too, by the way.
They give McDermott targets. Like, hey, take a look at these guys. This is who our staff really likes. I mean, McDermott might have some ideas on players he's seen a little bit, but, you know, hey, send this this group of players to the head coach, see what he thinks.
Yep.
803-0550, Mark in Coconut Creek. Hey, Mark, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, I hear what you're saying about safety. I hadn't even considered that until I sort of looked at between Rapp and Bishop. I think last year they only had two interceptions. That seems hard to believe. And, you know, if we can't get a stud defensive lineman, which I feel like it's going to be gone by number 30, I think if a good safety comes our way, I think it'd be worth a pick. I feel like Rapp's a little injury prone and not much depth out there. So, I don't know. I feel like it'd be great if we could make a big blockbuster trade and shake up the draft, but I don't see that happening. And, you know, good show. Love listening to you guys. I'm looking forward to September.
Thanks, Mark.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've kind of flipped myself to safety this morning. Just not even really – again, like, I'm not about to be mad if they don't do it. I don't think anything can make me mad outside of running back or tight end or tackle. Almost nothing else.
I think I'd be mad at linebacker.
Yeah, okay, that too.
I think
sure.
I'd be mad at linebacker.
It wouldn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But
I wouldn't say I'm flipping on safety. I'm holding on it. Like, it is, but I've always kind of thought it is defendable.
Well,
it's defendable.
Sure.
If it's the right player, it is defendable.
And the whole concept for me is it's less about the position. I would have this conversation about receiver. I would have this conversation about tackle. If they had a right tackle that was just okay, it was not like Spencer Brown before he finally locked in.
Yeah, we talked about tackle.
Right, and yeah. Like Sal makes a great point about the Bills' belief in their own players. Their belief in Brown, we probably started the waiver on Brown. Like, I don't know, there's a back injury.
Yep.
And then what happens? They extend him as he starts to come into his own, and then bang, he's just like a stud now.
And their actions did match their words were, it was the back injury, he didn't have a full offseason, yep. Like we think that it's in there, and he didn't get the work in that he wanted, and then they didn't act on it.
And they were right.
Like they never made any move to they didn't really bring in competition for him.
Yep.
Right?
And they were right on that.
And they were right.
They were right.
Yes.
So they might be right on the safeties, they might be right on Cole Bishop, they might be right on Taylor Rapp and Keon Coleman. They're probably not going to be right on everything. So to me, the concept of what would a safety mean, it would be my best indication that they loved a guy. Where mm-hmm. I don't know that I would feel the same way at defensive lineman. Defensive tackle. They definitely would love the guy, but...
Isn't that what they would say the second, like, tonight in a press conference? Wouldn't they come out saying that, too? Like, hey, like, this... We have Rapp under contract. We just drafted Cole Bishop. Like, we love these guys, too. This is more about... We just love this player.
And they drafted Dalton Kincaid to take away snaps from Dawson Knox, who they love.
Right.
Yeah. So, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550, our phone number.
Schefter tweeting out in the last minute that the Broncos have been fielding trade calls in recent days from teams interested in moving up to 20, and that, of course, is one pick ahead of Pittsburgh at 21. That, to me, is the quarterback spot. That's the quarterback trade. If you are Cleveland or you are the Giants and you want a guy, who would you want to jump in front of in the 20s?
Ahead of Pittsburgh?
It's Pittsburgh.
I do think Jalen Milroe is as good an idea as any for late first round picks.
Did you see Brett Coleman's tweet on that yesterday?
Yes.
He had a good couple of tweets in a row. One, the first was
Bills fans, you're gonna like this tweet from Brett Coleman about Jalen Milroe, but you're gonna like this.
Yeah, the first tweet is GMs would stop overdrafting average quarterbacks if they just watched 15 minutes of Josh Allen highlights before the first round started. Remind yourself what the aliens look like, and then honestly ask yourself if the player you are about to draft has any shot of going blow-to-blow with them. And then he followed up like a minute later, wait a minute, am I talking myself into Milroe? Jalen Milroe out of Alabama.
Traits.
Because it's traits, and he's an athlete, and he's super fast.
And he can throw it.
Yeah, he's got to clean up a lot.
Yep. 803-0550. All right. We've been teasing this for a bit. Let's get to Keon Coleman. So Keon Coleman is on the Carmelo Anthony podcast with Monica McNutt called 7 p.m. in Brooklyn. And they're talking to Coleman about his year and the injury and all this. And I think there's some stuff in here that's pretty cool. It's going to get to what the offense was, what the offense became, his mindset, a couple things about it. We've got about a minute worth of clips here. All right, we're going to play you some sound from Coleman. We're going to pause it and talk about it as we go. But this is Keon Coleman with Carmelo Anthony, on the Carmelo Anthony podcast, 7 p.m. in Brooklyn, as they ask him about his year coming into the NFL and his injury.
when I got hurt, that was crazy. I just came off of two good games. I'm thinking I'm about to go fed the rest of the season. Like, yeah. Oh, this style's a real achievable, you know? Got hurt, then ended up missing like an extra game trying to recover. So I think the injury thing, and then bouncing back from that. Understanding, like, as a player, when you down, it's next man up. I play for winning organization, so whatever's working, we're going to keep doing.
Right.
And whatever was working was the opposite of what we was doing when I was there. It was a little more vertical, doing different things, because I was involved. Now that I was hurt, we adapted a different level of the offense. And once I came back, I'm like, I understand I can't disrupt that to go back to me getting the ball, doing all that. So just adjusting to a lesser role on the back half of the season kind of was different. Kind of watching that transform, like I'm knowing how things work. Like you coming back, you're going to ease into that. You're not coming back, just going to get 15 balls your way. We winning.
Right.
Winning is the main thing. So that was different.
So a couple things in there.
Mm-hmm.
He sounds like a receiver, and I love this. You know, he said, at two big games, I'm about to go fed. I'm going to go crazy. He even also referenced feeling like he was bummed out to miss the Rams game. Because what was the Rams game? Fireworks. Mm-hmm. Coleman is a player that we'll see what he can grow into and how he can be a big part of this offense. But, you know, everybody eats is wonderful. Coleman's a guy that said, he's going to stay feed me. Feed me.
Mm-hmm.
Do your job outside of that. When you come back and you're trying to get back in the offense, you know, do what you got to do. You've got other jobs. But Coleman's there talking about how he's about to go off. I'm ready.
Mm-hmm.
I'm about to pop. So, I like hearing that.
If he does, you know, careful how you talk around here, I guess, right? Like, if he does and he becomes, I mean, these quarterbacks weren't in everybody eats hat, you know?
Yep.
If Coleman, it would be interesting to see how all of that would go and how, if Coleman just popped. I do not expect that to happen at all. But if Coleman became like
1,400 yards.
Who's the last receiver that took like a big second year jump? That used to happen more. It doesn't really a lot anymore. Usually the guys just played pretty well right away.
He played pretty well right away up until the injury.
Right. He was fine.
And how about that? He also says, when I came back, we were running a little bit of a different offense, that it was shorter. We weren't doing as much vertical stuff when I came back. So we were winning. And there's a little view into what he thinks about what happened. Not only did he get hurt and have to miss time, when I came back, the offense was a little different, and we weren't going to change it because it was winning.
Right, right. So if he goes up to like, well, I don't even know what the number would be. Just if he, what does he got to do though for that? He's got to learn how to run routes differently than he has. Like, he's got to be more, I think for him to be the type of player he's talking about there, where you can even say the words, feed me, he's just got to get open more. Simply put, you got to figure out how to do it. You got to be working every day with, like, whatever the Jordan Palmer equivalent is of wide receivers, of learning route technique and just, you know, how to beat press coverage. Like, he's got tools, but he's got to get better at all that stuff. Or he'll be fine. Like, I think he could carve out a role for himself in this league being a good player. Doing, you know, the jump balls and the contested catches and a little bit of yak and blocking. But, yeah, he's not a 1,000-yard receiver unless he gets better at getting open.
Part of what you hear from there is he wants to be a 1,000-yard receiver.
Right.
He wants to be a 1,400-yard receiver. So.
Yep. Sal talk. Does he sound like the type of guy where if he becomes that a 1,000-yard, he's going to be a talker?
I think anybody that ends up being great, you know, receivers get this all the time. Hey, I'm great. I'd like to be a part of this. I never have a problem with that. It doesn't seem to be a problem. If you're an elite, if you're an incredible quarterback and your coordinator just calls handoffs all the time, you're like, what are we doing out here?
Mm-hmm.
I should be throwing the ball. If you're great, I give you that agency. I give you that license to say, throw me the ball.
He also would be a test of the whole ideology of, like, everybody eats. Because not even just that. Like, the Bills wanting to pay a receiver, like, a big contract. If Coleman does what he says there, which is, all right, he's gonna figure it out. And he has 1,000 yards this year. And then however many touchdowns, and next year he builds on that again. And now we're past year three, and he's done it. Like, he's become a number one receiver in the league. Maybe he's not the best receiver in football, but he has figured out a way to be T. Higgins. Then the Bills are really going to be tested. It's going to be, all right, Keon Coleman has done exactly what you drafted him to be, which is become a fully well-rounded, great wide receiver. But you've got this idea that, okay, well, we don't want, we want a series of players that all, you know, perform like that. And we, Shakir is a modest contract. But now I got this other guy and he did it. He became a great player. Am I ready to write him a check for, I mean, what would that be in 3 years? $40 million? $35 yep. million? Dollars? Or you want to walk away from it and say, no, just replenish.
It's a good question.
We'll make that position more of a replaceable position than other teams in the league treat it. Because I don't believe that they wouldn't pay him. I think they would pay him.
Yeah, I don't believe it either.
If Keon Coleman became a 1,000-yard receiver like he's talking about there, I think the Bills will treat him as like they'll treat him as such. They will throw him the ball all the time, and then they will pay him.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Keon Coleman. He's a big season for him. Kincaid, too.
I would not draft either of these players in fantasy, though. I'm not expecting – I would expect Kincaid maybe to take the step more than I would Coleman. And Coleman's just going to be a fine player for a while. That's my thought on him.
How about Cook? Like, what do you want in fantasy? You want Shakir, Cook, and Allen?
I wouldn't go Cook.
You don't want Cook. They're not going to use him
up. Not at his value. I think they will use him, and he'll be fine. But a lot of his value – like, come on. We're all expecting the touchdown number to come down, right?
I mean, maybe.
16?
His brother tweeted 20 million. Dalvin Cook tweeted 20 million. I mean, James Cook, he didn't go any further with this. This is where, you know, what do you want to do about that? Dalvin Cook tweets 20 million. Someone in the office goes, hey, Brandon, see Dalvin? What? 20 million.
Well, listen.
Good, cool.
Again, like some of the inconsistencies that sometimes we treat this stuff with. Whose brother tweeted something that we all lost our minds about? Trayvon Diggs.
Mm-hmm.
And we took that to mean something. The Browns once took Odell Beckham's dad's words and flipped them around to trade him.
Yeah.
That one was really ridiculous. The Browns acted on Odell Beckham's dad saying mean things about the Browns.
And Baker.
And Baker, right. Beckham didn't say him, but his dad did, and they got him out of there. So
turns out it was the coach to blame anyway.
I don't want to care about it, and I hope the Bills don't care about his brother tweeting $20 million.
No, you definitely do not have to care about that.
You shouldn't care about
it. No. Dalvin Cook tweets about his brother, you should get $20 million. Like, okay.
And he will not get $20 million.
He will not get $20 million.
He will get
11?
12 and a half.
Okay. Oh, look at that. We're pretty close.
But not from the Bills. That's my guess. He'll get 12 and a half in a year from like the... Well, I was going to say Jaguars, but they might have their running back tonight.
I saw a highlight of the first player to hug Goodell.
I have some fun odds on the draft tonight, and one of them, I think, is that, yeah, on who the first player to hug Goodell will be. I mean,
Cam Ward.
Cam Ward, because he's there and he's the favorite, is, like, easy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because is he just going to – doesn't everybody hug Goodell now?
Most of them.
It's most of them. There are guys that don't.
Was it Gerald McCoy was the first one to hug him?
He did. He started the whole thing. Yeah, some of these odds, some of the fun ones.
Don't forget, like, we get a lot of good stuff on draft night, whether it's someone at home, we're talking about the kitchen decor or how they took the phone away from the girlfriend or the dogs barking. You know, there's a lot of – it's a very memeable night. We're going to get some new memes tonight.
Here's one. Will we see a player wear a cheese head? Because it's in Green Bay.
Possible. The Packers are said to be on the Pickens trade line. It's okay. Cowboys, Packers, a couple others. Like, could George Pickens be on the move?
Okay. Will a drafty recreate the Lambeau leap?
Good question.
What would that be, though? You would jump off the stage into the crowd? Oh, they're in the stadium, though, aren't they? So you could run off the stage and go, and then go up. Which draft highlight will be shown first? Brett Favre in his bedroom or Aaron Rodgers waiting on draft day? Those will probably be pretty close together. Will Deion Sanders have sunglasses on his face?
Yes.
That's plus money.
Okay, I'll take yes.
Plus 110. Well, we can't bet this stuff. Will Travis Hunter be wearing a turtleneck? I don't know that one. Will an X account or Instagram account of a drafty be hacked tonight? That's plus 500 if you want in on that one. Will the number one overall pick cry? There's a lot of these.
803-0550, our phone number, and 1-888-550-2550.
One more. There's who will be traded first during NFL draft. The co-favorites, not Trey Hendrickson. He's the second favorite. Jaire Alexander and Mark Andrews are the co-favorites for the first player traded during the draft. Jalen Ramsey, Kirk Cousins, Dallas Goedert. There's a bunch of others listed after
this.
It's
a big night for fantasy. If you can dump some running backs on teams that are about to draft one in the first round, like, or buy low from someone that thinks that running back's about to get beaten out by Ginty or Omarion Hampton, and then all of a sudden that team does not take it back, you're feeling good about it.
Mm-hmm.
803-0550. When we return, we're going to talk with Joey Van Zumeren, who talks Missouri football. Just to get a quick conversation in on Luther Burden. Could the Bills go receiver in the first round? Chris Trapasso has Burden as his sixth-ranked player overall, I think. Is that right? Sixth overall, wide receiver two behind Hunter. So Joey Van Zumeren is going to join us. He talks Missouri Tigers football. I'm just going to ask him a couple questions on Luther Burden to, you know, just keep the wide receiver train alive. We still have it. Still there. Jeremy and Joe.
The choo-choo's a little further in the distance, though.
I hear the train of coming.
It's low. No, it's not that loud. It's a little lower than that. Yeah, there we go. It's out there. You know it still exists.
Yep. 803-0550 on WGR.
I don't know that it's necessarily dropped. I always am a little bit skeptical of that because it's teams have it different than the media might have them. I think he's going to go 20 to 35. Like, he's going to be a late first round pick or go in the top of the second round. And I talk to Drink all the time. He loves him. He sells him, and he's talking to teams and selling to teams and sending out practice footage and all those things. So he's going to be a good player. I told him, I was like, there's receivers every year in the second round that end up being special players. Ladd McConkey was a great example last year. So I just tell the kid, be excited of where you go, not when you go.
That's Daniel Jeremiah talking about Luther Burden. We've talked a lot this morning about defensive line, a lot about safety. We're spending a lot on the defense, of course, but a few minutes here on Missouri wide receiver Luther Burden. Joining us on the Western Hotline to chat about it is Joey Van Zumeren, who talks and covers the Tigers for SI Now. Joey, good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. Thanks for some time today.
Absolutely. I appreciate y'all having me on.
Tell us the Luther Burden story. What's the story here? Jeremiah pegs in between 20 and 35. It feels like a year ago I knew his name as a potential top 10 receiver. So what kind of player is Burden, and what has happened here?
Yeah, so I mean, Burden was the guy that as soon as he committed to college, it was known like, all right, he's going to have 3 years here and then be a top pick in the NFL. And like you mentioned, around this time last year, before the 2023 or 2024 college football season, he was being talked about as a top 10 pick, widely considered. There was even a mock draft from Pro Football Focus that had him as the number one overall pick. So then this past season, Burden, at least stat-wise, took a fall. He only had one 100-yard game. He went from 1,200 yards to 600 yards. And so I definitely think that's something to consider, something to look into. But I think when you look into it, you see kind of the overall struggles this Missouri offense had. And to me, from watching every game of Luther Burden for these past 3 years, there was zero drop-off in the talent from 2023 to 2024. So there's plenty of potential there.
In terms of the type of receiver and where he lined up, the Bills have already a kind of a plethora of slot receivers, and I know Burden did that mostly. Does he seem like somebody to you, though, that has the ability to play different positions in the NFL?
Yeah, absolutely, and this is what I've been talking about with Burden. Just because he wasn't asked to do something at Missouri doesn't mean he can't do it at the NFL level. So he is a little bit smaller. He's 5'11", 206. I mean, size-wise, just with those measurements, though, it looks a little bit bigger than he plays and then just kind of what he looks like in person. So I do think he has the ability to be on that boundary wide receiver and not just in the slot. But I think with Buffalo and really any other teams in this late picks in the first round, it will be interesting to just watch kind of how that role changes for Burden compared to if he does go in the early second round. Because I think if he goes to, like, the Titans at pick 35, the question is going to be having to hurry him along with the development of Cam Ward, getting him into the offense, and having to really make him a wide receiver one. But I think with a team like Buffalo, Philly, Los Angeles, it really is a real move that could move the needle for these teams to get over the hump in the playoffs. So, yeah, I mean, like you said, he mostly played slot in college, just a really dynamic receiver after the catch, and that's his main thing that he made his money off of.
Was there also something like for why he played so much in the slot at Missouri about how they run their offense or what else they maybe had at the position? There could be different reasons for that. I'm thinking of Neighbors played mostly slot at LSU because they had studs, and it's just where they thought they'd get the most out of him.
No, I think so. 2022, Burden's first year there, he played on the boundary, so there's a little bit of tape to watch there. And that was because they had Dominic Lovett in the slot, and he ended up transferring to Georgia, so that opened up the slot for Burden. I think it was more so not like Neighbors, but more so where it just really fits his skill set really well. So, I mean, again, once he's able to get in space, it's just unbelievable what he's able to do with the ball in his hands. I mean, there's so many his best situation is to be in a one-on-one situation with the defender and for him to have to create space out of nowhere. So I think that was more so just a decision of where's his skill set going to be best fit.
Joey Van Zummeren on the Missouri Tigers and on Luther Burden. You know, on Burden, we've seen a little bit of what's the character. Some, you know, it is anonymous scout season and people telling you what they think. Any concerns there? Any sort of stuff regarding the off the field for Luther Burden, or you know, on the field kind of character concerns?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say as far as that. I mean, I know for certain that, like you said, it is definitely a concern that scouts have. The one thing I could offer on that, I mean, I've interacted with Luther, and just from that interaction, he seems like a very genuine person. He hosted a youth football camp in his hometown of East St. Louis, which is a troubled area, so he's a role model for that area. And Eli Drinkwitz, Missouri's head coach, has only had good things to say about Luther Burden. And Eli Drinkwitz, for anybody that knows him, he is not a guy, if he is not really a fan of a guy, not really getting along with the player, he's not going to go out there and lie and say that he is. So I really take that for what it is. And, you know, some of the character concerns, off field concerns, came from this idea that's building with NIL now of, oh, these guys are just coming in, they're getting paid millions of dollars right away. For Burden, he handed Missouri an empty check or a blank check after his 2023 season, and he said to Coach Shrinkwitz, pay me whatever you think is acceptable and whatever makes sense for our roster. So I think that speaks a lot to just his character and what he brings to a team as far as that.
All right. Well, Joey, enjoy the draft tonight. And
it's two Missouri guys mostly, right? It's Burden, yeah. And then Membo will go really way before the Bills will be on, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. Membo should go in the top 10.
Yeah. Offensive tackle.
All right. Thanks, Joey.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Joey Van Zummeren. Quick on Luther Burden there.
Well, yeah, slot.
It's funny, like slot versus outside. It's one of the things we always have to kind of measure for the Bills. It's Matt Harmon who had it on Burden, where he said slot, but like Neighbors played slot. Neighbors was heavy slot, and that was a thing that, well, can he do the rest of it? And, you know, can you play in the Z instead of the X?
Mm-hmm.
And the Bills have kind of shown us that those roles, I don't know, might be up for interpretation in different offenses too.
Right, Coleman
is not supposed to be an X, but he's an X.
Yeah, in this offense, he was an X. And that went, you know, up and down.
Up and down.
There were moments.
It's one of the reasons I think they want a field stretcher, is to kind of pull coverage away and give him a little bit more room, and Kincaid and Shakir, of course, you know.
I mean, Neighbors is the prime example of it, because he played mostly slot at LSU, and then he played basically exclusively on the outside with the Giants, and he was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, best rookie receiver we've seen in years. And he played in a different alignment than he did almost entirely at LSU.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us, Jeremy and Joe. It's draft day. It's draft day.
Love draft day. Top 10 sports day of the year?
It's, no. It used to be when it was all on Saturday, but now it's just, you know, first round, it's a lot of show. You said you had a Bears rumor or something?
Yeah, so Ben Devine tweets that the Bears have had, or that he's heard the Bears have a tentative agreement in place to trade with their pick. He doesn't say, though, whether they're going up or down. Ryan Poles, the GM, on Tuesday said this one is going to be a little wild, he also said. So I don't know. They pick – where do they pick in the first round? They are pick number 10. So, again, without knowing if they're going up or down, it's kind of tough to predict like what that could be. But the over-under – we were talking about draft odds earlier. One of the bets that we cannot make is over-under 4.5 trades tonight in the first round.
Over.
Over?
Yes.
I mean, the Bears, this would be one of them.
Over. This, I'm
so far, we have zero.
I don't have any way to quantify this, but I just think this draft is one where the boards of the 32 teams are going to be so different and varied that you're going to have a bunch of teams say, we're at number 14. This guy's sixth on our board. Make a move to move up to 12.
That could make it harder, though, because you might not know. Well, no, I guess not. You might not know how high you have to go. The Bills could walk in tonight saying, like my guy, let's say they love James Pierce as much as Trapasso does. Like they are obsessed with him. And they think, all right, you know, if we, where do we have to get? Because they're doing their own mock drafts, right? And they're playing out this exercise. They have to act as these other teams, the people on their staff. So, all right, like maybe we think he's going to go like 18th, 19th, 20th. So if we have to get him, we might have to go to 20, where Denver is. Or 19. And then, oh, San Francisco picked him at 11. Because they loved him. And all it took was one team to love him that much, and nobody thinks it's ridiculous because this guy could have gone between 10th and 50th. So, that might make it tougher to trade for. At least coming in with the idea of what to trade for. Also, trading up for the Bills, not that I think they're going up 10 spots, but if Denver is talking to teams that are coming up for a quarterback, you can't get in that ballgame.
Probably not. Teams are going to pay more.
Right. They're paying a quarterback price, and you're not going to want to pay a quarterback price for someone who's not a quarterback.
803-0550. We have a guest at 9:30.
Yes.
Josie Altidore.
I'm excited.
He is partial owner of the Buffalo Bills.
We are talking to an owner of the Buffalo Bills today on the radio.
And he's announcing one of the fourth-round picks.
Yeah.
Josie Altidore, 9:30. So, you know.
U.S. soccer.
Does he want to talk about Arsenal and the Champions League? Homer. You think? He's going to talk about Liverpool? We'll talk about Buffalo USL, Buffalo Pro Soccer?
I mean, I think all could be on the
And
table.
Of course, the Bills.
He's probably a fan of some Premier League team. He played for Sunderland, but they are no longer in the Premier League, so.
You see who's coming up? Leeds.
Leeds
is back.
They're like the U.S. affiliate team. Like they've got like, don't they have three Americans?
They were up four Americans.
They were up a couple years ago, and they're back.
They were, yeah.
803-0550, Josie Altidore, 9:30. How exciting. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Flipping it up to LaFontaine. He gets tripped up, gets it to May, and over the line. He's May going in on goal. He shoots. He scores!
All right, now I'm doing something. Have the Bills ever drafted a player on a night when the Sabres played?
Surely.
Because the draft...
Yeah, surely.
I only mean the Thursday night. Because that started in 2010.
Oh, then no.
It could have happened in 2010 or
you meant like
2011 or 12 if the Sabres had a playoff game on NHL draft night.
In 2011 or 12?
That's what I'm trying to look up right now. Like, what was the date of the 2010 draft? Anyway... Because, you know, there's a world where the Bills are picking tonight and we're all at the Sabres game hanging out for the playoffs.
If you find out what day that draft was on, I can tell you immediately what the Sabres were playing on. Because Sabres played on the 15th, 17th, 19th, 21st, 23rd, 26th.
The 2011 NFL draft.
This is 10, though, that I'm looking
was
at.
Was the 28th of 2011.
That might be too late.
Okay. They did not play on the 28th?
The 28th. They played Game 7 on the 26th.
Okay, so 2012.
Wait, so what was the that was the 2011 draft?
Yeah.
So was that Marcel Darius?
Yes.
The Bills drafted Marcel Darius more recently than
the next playoff game was a year before or a year after. So 2010 or 2012?
2010.
2010 NFL draft?
Yeah.
Was April 22nd.
That was in between Games 4 and 5.
Against?
The Bruins.
All right.
A double overtime loss, and then a win in game five. There was a double overtime game in that series?
That's the one. No, Chatan didn't score. Miller gave up a golden double overtime in Boston, right?
It was Chatan.
Yeah, Chatan. Chatan for the win in Boston.
In double overtime.
Tuukka Rask has an assist on
that. So there you
go.
It's Chatan in double overtime. The Bills take CJ Spiller the next day.
This is our recent Sabres draft memories, by the way.
Sure.
Lineups
time for the
with, yeah,
Riverfront Auto Sales pick of the week. And the pick of the week at Riverfront is a 2015 BMW Z4 S-Drive 28i Roadster. Drop the top, feel the power, sleek two-door hardtop convertible beauty with turbocharged performance, classic BMW luxury, and that sporty road-hugging feel. You'll fall in love at first drive. Hurry and test drive at Riverfront Auto Sales. This Z4 won't last long. 1379 Niagara Street. My pick of the week is Travis Hunter. I saw something about Hunter. One scout said he could get you 11 interceptions a year. That's how good he is, 11 interceptions a year. How many active NFLers have double-digit interceptions in a season?
In a season?
Yep.
Oh, man. One?
Two. It's two.
One of them is the Cowboy guy, right?
Trayvon Diggs.
It's not the other.
No,
Bland?
It's not Bland.
Who had like six in a row?
Yeah, he had a bunch of pick sixes.
Pick sixes, that's right.
But single season leaders in interceptions.
Trayvon Diggs and did Surtain get there? Those guys don't get thrown at enough.
That's the thing. Like if he's really this good, he won't get thrown at like that.
Well, that's the thing about Diggs is some people think he's actually not that great.
Right.
Which is why teams throw at him and he's boom or bust.
Double digit interceptions in the NFL right now. Diggs did it once, Trayvon Diggs, and Xavien Howard did it in 2020.
Okay, I would have never guessed that.
And the next high of an active player, Kevin Byard had eight. He's safety, okay. Right? He's safety. Like the idea you're going to get 11 interceptions at a cornerback spot is just you shouldn't be counting on that. If you're that good, they don't throw it to you.
Hot take. If Kyer Elam had been playing every game since he was drafted, he would have a double digit interception season.
That's a hot take. That is a hot take.
I mean, I'm not saying, but they would have been throwing at him.
Maybe.
Because he
boomer bust
wasn't very good.
803-0550. Jeremy and Joe, it's draft day on WGR.